Well, his name is Alex Jones. He's an award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher. His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, are at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. Alex is recognized by many as the father of the 9/11 truth movement, being the first to question the government's official story. His newest film is called Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State. It details the latest 9/11 revelations. Again, his website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Alex has just returned from London, England. Alex, welcome to the program. How are you?
George, I'm great. I'm always humbled and honored to be on your wonderful broadcast.
I understand you've been on a worldwide tour lately, huh?
Well, I have been traveling a little bit, but I did go over last week until just last night to London, England, to research right there on the ground at point-blank range what really happened concerning the 7/7 bombings. And then the dud bombings of 7/21, 2 weeks after those bombings that killed 55 people.
Okay, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight, Alex. And, of course, the big question is, and we posed this to you, is why do people believe in conspiracies? What do they want? What are they grasping onto, in your opinion, that lets them just take every little thing they hear and think that there's a conspiracy out there?
Well, there's several different terms or definitions that are connected to the word conspiracy. I mean, if I happen to, post a picture of a pyramid on my website, people go, "Oh, you're trying to use secret Illuminati conditioning." No, the whole point is I'm posting that pyramid to point out the Illuminati. So there's a lot of people that do take things too far, that, read things into cloud formations in the sky. Kind of like my three-year-old sees a giraffe in the sky. I mean, a giraffe isn't really there. But at the same time, the media, the dominant old-line establishment media, and governments around the world, if you question anything they're doing, if you question that secret cloning meeting, oh, you're weird to question all the top scientists getting together, all these different top scientists and cloning, getting together for some secret experiment. How dare you, call it a conspiracy? Well, the police will tell you that when two teenagers get together and conspire to steal beer out of somebody's garage, that's a conspiracy. So on the other side, we have the establishment and others that are coincidence theorists and wants to believe that, everything happens by random chance, and we all know that's not true. Listen, our founding fathers said, don't trust the government. It's always going to be involved in different corrupt machinations trying to steal your liberty. Have separation of powers. Never give up your freedoms. Greedily, jealously guard your freedoms, because there's always those conspiring, they even use the word conspiracy, conspiring to take your freedoms. And so, a big part of it is, in America, we've been so free, things have been so good for so long, and things still are pretty good on the whole, that we trusted the government a little too much. And they abuse that trust and would just lie on so many different fronts that now the government and many institutions have lost almost all credibility, because they've been caught lying more often than telling the truth. In fact, I'd say 90% of the time. I mean, it's almost all lies, or at least a spin or a twisting of the truth. And so I've seen, just in the 10 years that I've been on the air, now 11 years, I guess, a total shift from almost everybody I talk to disagreeing with me, ridiculing me, laughing at me. To this point, George, it's hard to find anybody that disagrees with me on the basics. We're losing our freedoms. We're being lied to. There is a corrupt elite. A world government is being formed. So really what's happened, the establishment lied about the New World Order. They lied about their plans to build a one-world government. They lied about their plans to tax the Internet. They lied about their plans for cloning. They lied about Prozac and Ritalin. They lied about sodium fluoride. They lied about mercury in the vaccines. They lied about depleted uranium. They lied about 9/11. They lied about Oklahoma City. They lied about the First World Trade Center. And so now, just automatically, people are being skeptical and not believing the official line. And I say that's very healthy.
Now, how do you know what to believe? And the reason for that is, I get thousands of emails, you get a lot of emails, I'm sure you and I have seen this group of emails that I've been bombarded with over the last day or two. I'm going to tell it to you. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There is a series of emails going all around the country right now, Alex, that says that the special prosecutor, Peter Fitzgerald, out of Chicago, the one who's investigating the CIA leak story, that he has already indicted the president, the vice president, the former attorney general, and a handful of other people in this case. Now, you know, I've looked at this thing, and and it's going all around the country right now. I'm getting copies of these emails, and I'm saying to myself, there's no way this has happened in this particular investigation.
Well, I mean, you just said it, George.
And are you getting these emails, too?
Of course.
Yes.
And listen, you've got, and I'm not just saying this, it's really true, you've got a good nose for garbage, for lack of a better term, you know, balderdash, poppycock, and so do I. I mean, you know, we see these emails all the time. We will be nuked next month. Doesn't happen. We see these emails. Planet X will get us next week. You know, anybody who puts a date on something, you've got to question it. You know, is there a threat from asteroids hitting the Earth? Most definitely. Scientifically proven. But will it be next week or 2,000 years from now? Chances are it's going to be the next few thousand years, statistically. You know, a lot of this is just common sense. Also, it takes a grasp of the material. I mean, I'm studying, I'm working, I'm researching many hours every day. And so, you know, there's different genres of conspiracies. There's the type of conspiracies that are provable and demonstrable. It's like when the local news talks about three men robbed a bank and they've been arrested and charged with conspiracy. I mean, that's the type of conspiracies I talk about. And so when we analyze, say, a terrorist event, and I come out on day one and say, looks like an element, not the whole government, but an element of a Western government is behind this, I then have my reasons with a bunch of different indicators when all put together fits the past signature of the globalist. But a lot of cases, if there's been an attack, I won't come out day one and say I think it's the government. I'll say it may be radical Islamists because it doesn't show all of those key indicators. And then it takes time to research and get the answers. But the truth always does come out, George.
I was reading an interview from Robert Lacey, who's an expert in Saudi Arabia. And he says, and this guy is uncanny with his insight, and he was, you know, talking about what has happened in Saudi Arabia since 9/11 and everything else. He says that most Saudis believe that those Saudi hijackers were involved, but that they believe that there was another group that was part of it with them. We're not talking about Al-Qaeda now, just Al-Qaeda. He says there was another group working with Al-Qaeda hand-in-hand to make these events occur. And I read that coming from Robert Lacey, and I said, you know what? Things that we've talked about on this program, things that you've talked about for the last several years now, for this guy who is an expert on a specific region of the world, probably better than most, for him to have that kind of insight is uncanny.
Well, I totally agree with you. Listen, right now on InfoWars.com, we have the headline, Terror Expert London Bombings Mastermind is MI6 Asset. Group was used by Brits in Kosovo in the late 90s, also in the mid-90s. They were paid by MI6 to try to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi. And on Fox News Channel's Dayside program yesterday, it was revealed by former Justice Department prosecutor and terror expert John Loftus that the mastermind of the last two wave of the last two waves of bombings, Al Marjan Group, based in London, that its former head is the mastermind, and that this individual is admittedly MI6 and is being protected. And again, this is just mainstream news that they're openly coming out and saying that the individual who masterminded the London bombings of 7/7 and 7/21 is an MI6 asset being protected right now, and then they engage in these psychological gymnastics of explaining why MI6 is protecting him. And then it came out in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer just a few weeks ago. They kind of went back to a Seattle Times article from 99 where the FBI wanted to bust this guy setting up terrorist training camps there in Washington State, and they were told no by the higher-ups in Washington, leave them alone. So bottom line, George, you take this and you combine it with the documentation that on the very morning of 7/7 at the exact same time, exact same places, and we have this from the BBC, Channel 5, as well as ITN, that the British government was running a drill
with 1,000 people.
Yes, in conjunction with Pfizer consultants of the exact same places, exact same time, being bombed. It fits 9/11. The government runs a drill of hijacked jets being flown to the World Trade Center and Pentagon. When Putin's people in 99 got caught planting bombs in a fourth apartment building in Moscow, when the Moscow police caught them, they said, oh, it's just part of a drill. Why do governments run these drills? Because they can, again, even hire a private group to run a drill. That way, when the NSA and others are listening to chatter, National Security Agency, they hear this chatter and think, oh, it's just a drill. And if any of the government operatives that are carrying these attacks out get caught, they can say, oh, no, we're just taking part in the drill. So you have the drill. That's always just the number one key indicator that it's a globalist operation. And then on top of it, we find out that this longtime MI6 super double agent gopher is running around funding and controlling this whole operation. It fits the exact same modus operandi or signature or a basic wavelength of what's happened in past globalist-sponsored terror events. But again, it's very small groups within our governments orchestrating this, working through the terrorists that they control to carry out these attacks, George.
Have you heard any mainstream media? Andy, now there was a little clip on the BBC. You had it on your two websites. We had the clip on this program. Any mainstream media at all report on what I think is the most unbelievable portion of that entire situation in London? And that's what you've been talking about right now. And that's the training exercise of 1,000 people on a subway in that region at that exact time. I have not seen one major media outlet, not Fox, not CNN, someone correct me if I'm wrong, do a complete report on that secret training exercise, which the guy who headed it up said, I can't tell you who the client is. It's confidential. I haven't seen that anywhere. Alex, have you?
No. In fact, we called Peter Power of Pfizer Consultants over and over again, and all he would do was release a mass form email and letter. The Russian news has reported on it. The Chinese news has reported. One Canadian newspaper has reported on it.
And he said that live on the BBC. It was like the day after, wasn't it?
Well, the night of the event, he was on BBC Radio Channel 5. Then the next day, he was on ITN TV. And literally, George, it was like he was reading a script. He said the exact same thing. Then there has been one major TV network that has brought it up to Peter Power. That was Channel 4, and that was just last week, almost 3 weeks after the bombings. And he said, okay, it's two groups I was working for. I cannot tell you. And then another little blurb came out on BBC last week, and they said, well, we can confirm that one of the groups he was working with was private and the other was London Transportation. And the head of London Transportation, by the way, is a former top assistant to the director of the Central Intelligence Agency during the first Bush administration, and he was one of the top people managing the attacks on 9/11. That is the response in New York City, and we have details of all these individuals on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But for those that don't know, Harun Rashid Aswat, this is the new information, Harun Rashid Aswat. We talked about this last week. It was just little blurbs in the back of British newspapers. It was picked up Monday by Fox News, and Fox News came right out with it. I was shocked and actually told the truth and said he is a MI6 asset and is being protected, and the CIA is hopping mad and wants him arrested, but we really can't complain too much because the FBI wanted to arrest him for having a huge terrorist camp in Washington in 99 in Washington State, and they were ordered by the White House to leave him alone. In fact, we even have that video clip up there, George, if you want to watch it during the break. It says, terror expert 77 Mastermind was working for British intelligence. Group was used by Brits in Kosovo in the late 1990s. I mean, watching this little clip of Fox News and reading the transcript, it's like listening to George Norrie or Alex Jones. I mean, you're right. This stuff is really starting to come out.
It is so bizarre. I had a chance to reread David Griffin's book after he was on with you and the panel in June. And because he was pretty quiet during that discussion because you and Peter Lance were going at it all the time. Remember that? Like his remarks in his book are absolutely staggering with the questions he points out. I know we've got, look, we're coming up to a break. There's a lot to talk about with conspiracies. One of them, of course, I want you to refresh yourself a little bit, Alex, about the JFK assassination, only because it sets the stage for something that I think is very important for the rest of the things we're going to talk about right now. But anyway, while you were in London, were you welcomed warmly or what?
No, I wasn't. We were out at the different bombing sites. I also went to the site where they shot the poor Brazilian man 8 times in the head, execution style. Incidentally, it turns out now he was not wearing a coat. He was wearing a light denim jacket that's in style in London right now. He did not jump the turnstile. They ran at him, and he ran about 10 feet because he was afraid of plainclothes men with guns, and they sat on him and then shot him 8 times in the head. Very suspicious. You want a conspiracy, I got one for you on this. But we're outside the entrance talking to women at a fruit stand who saw him be murdered, and the police just walked over the bobbies, and this is on video, and told us to stop videotaping and took my driver's license and my info to put it into the Interpol database. And then I went down to Parliament, where they have just passed a law to ban free speech within a half mile of the Parliament, there in Parliament Square. And there were some activists there, 2 days before the ban went into effect, with a huge bullhorn. So I started bullhorning, and even before the law had passed or was in effect, the police marched over and gave me problems there. And you've got a link to that on Coast to Coast AM, the video of that happening.
Back in a moment. Also, Kim from Phoenix points out that Fox News' John Gibson was the only one that said the exercise taking place in England was really weird, don't you think? According to Kim, he repeated this a few times. She says, you're right. That was the only mention I heard about that on the news. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest tonight, Alex Jones. Alex, let's go back a little bit, because I think a lot of the perspective of conspiracies, our decision to lose faith in what might be happening on this planet, started in 1963. I was 13 when John Kennedy was assassinated. I don't know, how old were you then? Were you even born?
Yes, I didn't exist at that time.
Okay, but you have looked into the JFK assassination.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've interviewed over the years probably over 100 people, including Barr McClellan, LBJ's personal lawyer, and, of course, father of the current White House press secretary, who on record says that LBJ told him what the government did in no uncertain terms. And there was a whole, History Channel special concerning that. But, going back 42 years ago now, at the time, they don't have the exact poll numbers from the time, but clearly most people bought the official story but had questions. Now they do have poll numbers, and in some major polls it's over 90%. In most polls it's around 85% of the American people, when asked specifically, with a list of 5 different questions, will say that they believe the U.S. government killed JFK. And then you evidence itself. So, you know, I see these politicians and I see these pundits on major, you know, TV news shows still using, oh, this guy's from the grassy knoll, oh, and I bet you believe Kennedy was killed by the government too, ha, ha, ha. Well, it's only about 8% of people that are still laughing. So it shows this disconnect where the vast majority, upwards of 90%, know the truth. Even if they don't have all the facts, they instinctively know. And then you've got this tiny 8% still pontificating from the mountain, telling us that the world is still flat, George.
Well, that's true. But now let me ask you this. When you say the government, in your opinion, Alex, what is that?
Well, when we say the government, we're oversimplifying. There are corporate interests that are bigger than most governments that basically can steer and manipulate our government, the largest and most powerful in the world. And their goal is to expand that control over our population to basically use us as an engine of global domination. And this has been stated in major public white papers by different sectors of the elite. So when I talk about the government engaging in criminal activities, we're talking about very small clandestine groups within intelligence and security agencies. But those small clandestine groups are up at the very top of the pyramidal power structure, and so through compartmentalization, they're able to manipulate and steer our society.
Isn't it also accurate, though, to say, rather than government, a group of individuals who are doing something for their own sinister means?
Absolutely. I agree with you, George. People all the time say, well, you know, a grand conspiracy with the whole government. Why, I'm in the government. My husband's in the government. You're saying they're evil? Absolutely not. I mean, a great example is this terror expert 7-7 mastermind was working for British intelligence. You know, that's even on Fox News and, you know, in the Times of London right now. Our own FBI tried to arrest him in 99, and our government said no, let him build terrorist training camps in Washington. And then members of the British government in MI5 wanted him arrested in 99. When he went to England, they said no. And right now, the British government's protecting him because, in the words of former Justice Department prosecutors, they are openly saying that he is an agent, he is an asset, and they're leaving it open for us to figure out why they're protecting him. So time and time again, people want to do the right thing, but This group of individuals in our government and the British government, they're behind these shadowy walls of intelligence agencies, just won't let us do it, George.
No, not at all. And I think, again, getting back to the Kennedy assassination, once all that started, I think we all lost a chunk of faith in everything. And it was never the same. And after that, people then started to question, to doubt, to the point where we are now, where I would say at least 50%, and when you're at that, you might say it's higher. I'll go conservative. I'd say at least 50% of the people don't believe anything they hear coming from official sources.
Well, I agree with that number. I'd say it's about 50%. And then you'll have individuals out there who believe the government or criminal elements of the government, private rogue groups, to be more specific, and thanks for correcting me.
And I prefer that because I think that's more accurate.
No, you're absolutely right. That criminal rogue groups, though they are in dominant control, did carry that out. You'll have people who believe that rogue groups killed Kennedy, but then they don't believe the government was involved or even had prior knowledge in 9/11. And I'll ask them, I'll say, the government knowingly would do this to Kennedy, but they wouldn't do something to 2,800 and something Americans for trillions of dollars in oil, hundreds of billions in weapons sales, hundreds of billions in opium, and the domestic control. You know, I'm not saying George Bush is behind 9/11. I'm saying interest that control George Bush, interest that control Bill Clinton, interest that, you know, basically own our politicians like pieces of real estate, they did.
And interests that also control politicians in other countries.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all the same.
Yeah, that's what these intelligence agencies do. Listen, You go back 230 years ago, you talk about this cycle of awakening. Nobody trusted the government then. Everybody was waking up and upset and angry, but it was only a very small group that actually stood up. And then for 10 years before the Revolutionary War, there were committees of correspondence where people would have meetings and talk about the crimes that criminals in government and in other private institutions had committed. They would have these meetings. They would then list the crimes and talk about what must be done. Then we got our, you know, new government. We trusted it. We became very, very prosperous because we did, to a certain extent, have liberty, at least for some Americans. And then we got fat, dumb, and happy. We got very, very trusting. That was taken advantage of. Look, human history shows that you always get corrupt elites. You always get king rats. You always get oligarchs in control. And we always go through this cycle. The people get trusting, then they get abused, then they wake up, then they get angry, then there's a revolution or a revolutionary event or events that take place. We get reforms, and then the cycle just starts back over again. And so I think we're at the cusp or the wave right now. I don't think we've reached the apex yet, but we're getting there close towards major reform. But that's a very dangerous time, George, as you know, because some of these corrupt elites that are losing control, that are basically cornered rats, are very, very dangerous right now. And
well, you know what? I think they're capable working with the people that we've heard about. I mean, Al-Qaeda is real. It's dangerous. And it has a hand in some things because I think they're being financed by a lot of these groups, quite frankly.
Oh, they are.
That I think they are very dangerous right now because when we hear these real stories of the possibility of nukes in America, possibilities of nukes in America, I want to stress that, these people are capable of anything in order to continue the violence forever, and that's dangerous.
Well, you're right. In fact, you know, one of the points I wanted to make is that we've heard Dick Cheney in the last couple of years talk about nukes going off in America. Benjamin.
Just yesterday, Michael Chertoff at Lawrence Livermore talked about the fact that, and he heads up Homeland Security now, that the number one threat to us, and he said bombings and mass transits, and I'm going to paraphrase him, is nothing compared to the number one danger to this country, and that's a chemical, biological, or nuclear attack. It's almost as if he's telling us, expect it, folks.
Well, I mean, if you listen to what Homeland Security's been saying, they state it's not a question of if, but when. Michael Chertoff's minions have been out saying it's not a question of if, but when, and you're right. At Lawrence Livermore Laboratories yesterday, and we have this posted on Infowars.com. I believe I saw yesterday on CoastToCoastAM.com as well. He just came right out and said, you know, you can forget these train bombings. That's nothing compared to chemical, biological, and radiological. And, you know, this is the point. In San Francisco, in New York City, in New Jersey, I see video and photo images of five-year-old children being searched by police with machine guns. But meanwhile, the Border Patrol has been ordered, this is mainstream news, to stand down in the Texas and also in the Arizona-Tucson sectors. At the same time, we have the federal government coming out and calling for blanket amnesty of the 20 to 30 million illegal aliens that are in this country. They're putting up cameras and microphones all over the nation. They're telling us that the highways of America are going to resemble going through airport security, but the main front door, the gates to the city, are wide open. This is being used to take our liberties and freedoms, and nothing's being done to really stop the terrorist threat. And then we look at the latest spat of bombings that are being used as the excuse and the pretext for all of this, and the mastermind bomber is being protected by British intelligence. And listen, while I was in England, I interviewed David Shaler, former MI5 agent who blew the whistle back in the late 1990s and went to prison for violating their Official Secrets Act. And they never denied that he was right. but he's going to jail for 6 months for this. They want him to be in there for longer than that, but he only got 6 months. And I interviewed David Shaler, you know, in his hotel room, and, you know, here he was coming right out, George, and, well, here's a quote. Former British MI5 agent says many similarities between London bombings and 9/11. A former British intelligence agent jailed in 02 for linking the British government with paying an Islamic militant £160,000 in a failed assassination attempt on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. He said this week that recent London bombings have all the earmarks of an inside job just like 9/11. And he specifically said, Alex, when you've got drills at the exact same time, you know, that's the key, that's the cover. And it had already broken in England back on Saturday night when I was interviewing David Shaler, MI5. He also said, and we've got MI6 funding right now, you know, these unsavory individuals like Harun Rashid Aswad.
Well, see, listen, let me ask you this then. Let's go back to the first bombing on July 7th that killed 52 people. What do you think of these four morons, these idiots, who blew themselves up? I mean, do you think they were part of it? Do you think they were tricked? They were obviously there. Their family members say they died, but we don't understand why he did it. They were good kids, whatever they said. Do you believe they were part of it?
Well, let me be clear, and this is where we get into conspiracy theories. Let's say I'm a cop, you're a detective as well. We pull a guy over. This is an analogy, folks, a parallel. You know, a case point example. We pull a guy over, or some, you know, beat cops pull a guy over. He's got a dead woman in the back of his trunk. Her skin is under his fingernails. And he's got the bloody knife in his glove compartment that fits the stab wounds in her. Now, we take him to trial, but he will never say he did it. He will never tell us specifically where he did it. So the defense is going to bring that up. We know we've got him. He did it. Well, that's where our analysis basically ends with the London bombings. We know that there is a criminal element in global intelligence and in MI6 and in their military intelligence. That's the group we've caught carrying out bombings and blaming it on the IRA, and that's public over in England. We have huge archives on that. So specifically, when we get right down to the nuts and bolts of what happened, we have to speculate. We know the government was funding it. We know the government had warnings. We know that they were running drills. We've got them. We found the dead body in the car. They've got the skin under their fingernails and her blood all over them. Now we have to look at their past operations and the MO and the backgrounds, and we have to assess these four young men who one of them taught disabled children. You know, the other likes to play soccer and isn't religious. It fits the classic operation where they may have even had other drills going on at the same time. I don't believe Visor Consultants was involved. I think they were unwittingly hired. That's why they spilt the beans accidentally. I believe from all the evidence, and again, as detectives, we can only speculate
killed him. But lay it out. Lay out the conspiracy.
Okay, this is the conspiracy, folks. You know, at this point, it does become conspiracy theory. But even Scotland Yard, the incredible thing is, 1 week after, I mean, day one, I laid this out because it fit the MO. We've seen this so many times. Now, I live my life studying this. But 1 week after, Scotland Yard came out in all the British papers and said, we think there was a mastermind behind them. We think they were patsies. They may not have even known they had bombs. So understand what I'm saying now is what Scotland Yard said, because they're not terrorists. They're not bad. Their top detectives are saying what I'm about to say. And I'm on record, on my websites, writing articles the day of the event. I even called your producer up and, you know, sent you guys the info the day of the event, that night.
Right.
So again, folks, this is on record. Scotland Yard, a week later, says what I'm about to say. And then suddenly we have the second bombings and we all forget about this. So this is something that fell kind of into the Orwellian memory hole. These guys were hired and they thought that they were taking part either in some type of drill or they thought they were carrying some other form of contraband. Or it's possible, and this is the three scenarios.
So do you think first of all, they were hired by a group that simply said, we need to see if we can catch you. We need to see, we need to test our security. So you put this bag on. These are explosives, but they're not hooked up. Please don't touch anything. And you just sit where you're supposed to sit, and let's see if we find you. Do something like that?
Yes, sir. And then with the second wave of bombings, witnesses reported that these pops went off, and the people are like, what in the world? What was in my satchel? Oh, my gosh. So in the second wave, this happened, and then you see these people running away. But all Scotland Yard says is that we believe they were patsies, that they were patsies, and that they were set up. Then I look at the three scenarios. Were they told it was a drill? Were they told it was drugs? Were they not told, and did the controllers who were carrying out the attacks plant bombs in the bus, or did they plant bombs under the carriages of the trains? Now we have eyewitnesses.
Well, I got to tell you, with everything we've talked about over the years, you know, even if what you say is true with the conspiracy, the added ingredient, which you've now pointed out, which is on the record, that this guy who masterminded is an MI6 agent and is being protected, just makes the whole thing sound horrible, doesn't it?
George, that's all I do. Listen, I have said over and over again on my website, on my own little broadcast, I said it today, I was almost crying on air. I said, I wish it was just ragtag Islamicists by themselves. That is a lot less scary than knowing that there are big corporate private interests manipulating our governments, manipulating us into World War III, manipulating us into this Antichrist beast system. I wish it wasn't elements of the criminal government. I wish that it was ragtag Islamicists by themselves.
We'll be back. An hour to go, then calls. You know, Alex, why is it that there are so many people who just do not want to hear of some of these theories? They don't want to look at the possibilities that they could be true. Hence, they label you something, they attack you something, whatever it may be. They just don't want to look at it. They just believe that there's no way evil people can do these evil things. And so they stick their heads in the sand. Why do they do that?
Well, it's scary. In fact, my father is a physician, and he has a lot of friends, obviously, that are physicians, and a lot of my wife's family are physicians, and we've all talked about it. Most people, when they go in and they tell you, hey, you got a brain tumor, you're going to be dead in 6 months, people go, no, it's not true. You know, there's a mistake with the test. You made this up. And in a small percentage of cases, it's true, but usually it's not. So first, there is denial. Then there is anger, then depression, and then people learn to usually deal with it. And it's called cognitive dissonance. In fact, great examples of this, when I was in London over the weekend, we're talking to one of the women who witnessed this Brazilian gentleman get gunned down by the armed police, and she said, well, I think they did a good job, and we have to give up our liberty for freedom. I mean, I have her on video, three different camera angles. We need to give up liberty for freedom. And I said, well, if you give up liberty, you don't have freedom. She said, no. You give up liberty and you do have freedom. And I said, well, that's just not true, ma'am. That's an oxymoron. That's doublethink. That's ridiculous. There was a Hard Rock Cafe right down the street from Buckingham Palace. And we're out front pointing out pods of cameras where, I'm not kidding, George, they have like a pole with 25, 15, you know, cameras on it, just everywhere with microphones. And I'm sitting there talking about 1984, doing an introduction with the cameras behind me, and there's the Hard Rock Cafe, out in front of it, had some tables, and it was like 10 in the morning. They weren't open yet, but all the waitresses and people were out there, you know, cleaning the tables, getting ready, and a manager walks up, and I hear him talking, and they're going, we never noticed those. Look at all those cameras. And, George, there's a pod, a pole with like 20 cameras 10 feet away. About 20 feet away, there was a pole with like 10 cameras on it. And the manager walks up and he goes, you know, bloke, he was Australian. He goes, you know something, buddy? I've never noticed those, and I've been a manager here for a year and a half. And I said, well, it's pretty Orwellian, isn't it? And he goes, What's Orwellian? I mean, he was obviously a smart guy. He just was totally ill-informed. And I said, sir, you know, these cameras are surveilling you. You haven't noticed them? How could you miss them? They're gigantic. You know, huge black cameras. And I have video of all this. It'll be on the website soon. He said, well, I choose not to see them. And I said, oh, my God, he doesn't know about 1984. He doesn't know about doublethink, but he just engaged in it. The cameras are right there. He says he's never seen them. And then he says, well, I decide not to see them. So many people out there think that the world ends outside of their brain. They're very self-centered. They think that the world is governed by their perceptions. And, you know, advertising execs will tell you that, but really when the rubber meets the road, you may be on PCP and think that jumping off that cliff, you're going to fly. But I assure you, folks, your perception is not reality. And so many people think that if they just deny something, if they just rationalize, oh, so what if 500 studies say sodium stannous fluoride is a toxic sedative? So what if all the studies say mercury in vaccines brain damages children? I'm just going to believe the government and give my child the shot. And so we've gone from 1 in 25,000 children 2 decades ago having autism to 1 in 168. You know, finally the truth is going to set in. Listen, did you know that up until, and this is for the listeners, that up until even 1940, people in America, most of them thought Hitler was good? The war was very unpopular until the Japanese attacked us on December 7th, 1941.
Well, now, did you know that our president, and this is fact here, so I'm not saying anything out of school, that our president's great-grandfather supported Hitler in the beginning, financed Hitler in the beginning. And yet when people hear this, they don't want to believe it.
Well, you know, my film, Martial Law, which I sent you a copy of, George, you have a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I sure did. Very well done.
Well, I mean, you're a award-winning...
Well, I don't broadcast that.
Well, yeah, I know, but you've won, you know, the biggest TV award you can...
Emmys. I win Emmy Awards.
So I'm a little bit, you know, feel like the student here, but I put as much documentation as I could into the film. New York Times articles, and, you know, from the 1940s, with Prescott Bush's name in it, on the board of the company owned by Fritz Thiessen, actively as Nazi spies. And then I have the mainstream news articles where in 1951, they were the family sneaking the Nazi money out of Germany and Switzerland, two top Nazis in Midland, Texas, and in Central and South America. Now, folks, you can't make stuff up like this. And we document it all in the film Martial Law. I wish it wasn't true.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we have looked at these episodes in Saudi Arabia lately with the death of King Fahd, and this is a family dynasty. You know, ever since the father's father founded Saudi Arabia, and now, you know, it's been in the family now for 70-some years, and you look at the dynasties in this country, it's really no different. You know, we as Americans think generally we've got the power in the voting booth. We really don't. And you look at things that are going on. I got to tell you, I'm concerned about Saudi Arabia primarily because not only is it the world's largest producer of oil, but there's going to come a time when the people of that country get fed up with the family dynasty. And do you know they pay their princes $500,000 a piece? $500,000 a piece a year, plus perks, and the citizens of Saudi Arabia are living on an average of $6,500. How long do you think a population can exist when you have that kind of inequity?
I also think people don't understand that there are how many hundreds of princes?
Because, there's 4,000.
Yeah, 4,000 princes because, you know, these guys will have 100 and something wives. And I want to be clear about this. What, in my opinion, is the greatest conspiracy of all time? Monarchies. And then modern examples of corrupt governments, communism, Nazism, the Federal Reserve. How do we get these families, these elites that tell us they're gods, tell us that they're sovereigns, and then they end up running our lives, and we're bad if we criticize it? Listen, when we were in England, we took one of those, bus tours around the city. It was the best way to see all the sites and, you know, go to all of our locations. And they told us openly, you have absolute free speech unless it's hate speech, which they define, or unless you criticize the monarchy, and then you will be instantly arrested. And believe me, I criticized the monarchy, and in 20 seconds, the police did arrive.
And let me tell you, the only reason Saudi Arabia right now is in our camp, so to speak, and they're really not, because most of those Saudi princes have supported terrorism in heavy financial ways. I hope a lot of people understand that. But the only reason they're in our camp right now is when Saddam Hussein rolled into Kuwait in 99, they were petrified that he was going to do the same thing to them, so they decided to really become friends with us again.
Well, let's be specific.
Overall, they've hated us since their inception. They don't trust the West. They don't care about us. Right now, they're playing ball with us.
Well, I mean, I couldn't say it any better myself, George. Look, here's Saddam Hussein, not an angel, put in by our government. You know, people say, well, we did fund him, but we didn't put him in. No, I'm sorry, it's public. 1958, CIA hired him, trained the young 18-year-old Saddam Hussein in assassination, in bombing, in espionage in Egypt for 2 years. CIA, from the time he was 18, young, smart, intelligent, you know, 6'4" guy. They hire Saddam Hussein. He goes and commits assassinations. This is all public. All over the country of Iraq, kills people, machine guns, cars, you know, kills presidents. Then our government puts in a puppet dictatorship in 68. They tell the government, you have to put Saddam Hussein in your government as the security chief. Then in 1979, he comes to power. 2.5 years later, our government starts funding him, and over the years it was $40 billion, to openly attack Iran. 1 million-plus Iranians die, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. Our government sells him helicopters with the spray nozzles to nerve gas him, and then has the nerve to show us the film of him nerve gassing when our government went and gave him the training to do it. He thinks that we're his buddy. We tell him to go ahead and invade Kuwait. April Gillespie says, yeah, go ahead and invade.
Well, we didn't say invade, but we turned our cheek.
Well, I've got the video clip. What she says specifically is, he says, they're slant drilling, I'm going to invade. She says, we have a defense treaty.
No, she said, we will not get involved in Arabic disputes.
Exactly. She said, we have a defense treaty with you. We will not get involved in inter-Arab disputes. But, George, what is that saying?
Well, basically they're saying we're going to turn our cheek.
Exactly.
Do what you're going to do, and then he goes in and he makes a mistake, and the bottom falls out for him.
So they set him up. Now, in this global chess game that the global controllers play, we have this. Look, my only point is this. Saddam was the most lenient of almost any Arab country. I mean, the most Christians.
Even though you'll admit he was a butcher and eventually needed to go.
Yes, I mean, certainly he was a bad guy, but compared to North Korea, where they're threatening to nuke us, I mean, China 3 weeks ago said we will destroy 200 U.S. cities. Look, North Korea in 2001 launched a dummy missile, a test missile that hit Alaska. Now, that is the Times of Seoul. That has been in their Congress and their Parliament. It is admitted that North Korea hit U.S. soil with a missile, with a test dummy missile that blew up over Alaska. Pieces of it were found, and our government kept that quiet. We invaded Iraq on fabricated evidence, fabricated reports. That's now publicly admitted. Fake Niger documents, all of this. Meanwhile, just south of there, in Saudi Arabia, you have people with pleasure palaces importing women, children, sex slaves. This is mainstream news, folks. Yes, if you want to talk about evil and corrupt, it's Saudi Arabia. And then What makes me so mad is that 9/11 widows and widowers tried to sue Saudi Arabia for funding terrorists, and James Baker III, the former Secretary of State, represented them, and the Bush White House pressured the courts to drop all of those hundreds of lawsuits. And then Bush has the nerve to tell us give up our liberties and arrest anybody who's got connections to Islamicist terrorists. George, it's disgusting.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? And it's disappointing. And I don't know what's going to be done about it. And one of the big things I wanted to talk about tonight, Alex, was what can we as Americans do? Because let me tell you what I'm afraid of, and I see this happening. We both agree that the globalists have a plan. They want this total control. And in so doing, they're prepared to give up a city or two just to get it done. And I think, and that's what scares me, and you tell me what you think, I think these globalists, this Illuminati, this group that wants this worldwide control, and the way to do it is to nuke a city, because then you will have so many people on their knees, do whatever you need to do. We'll give up all our liberties. Save us all from this evil, that we're going to bow down and they're going to do whatever they want. And I think they're going to take an American city for that purpose. That's the way I feel. That's the way I see it. I've been dreaming about it, and I think it's going to happen.
Well, George, I think you've crystallized it, and this is such an important question. I want to try to – there's so much I want to talk about. I want to try to calm down and slowly go over this. The New World Order controllers, this criminal group that controls most major governments and basically plays us all against each other in this divide-and-conquer game, for 50 years has been constructing the entire geopolitical structure for crises management. And so now they need ever bigger crises to scare populations into accepting this mass mind control, mass regulation, mass dehumanization system. And all the indicators are, from Dick Cheney and Michael Chertoff and all of their different agents, is that we're going to be nuked. We're going to be nuked. There's going to be suitcase nukes go off. They've been creating the ledger, the history, for the last, 15 years or so. All of this is happening, and they've been preparing and training police for forced inoculations all over the country. They've been preparing emergency FEMA centers. They've been training with local police, preparing them for total federalization. They've been training the military for gun confiscation. The military, on record in a score of publications and on C-SPAN, has said that if we're attacked with chemical, biological, or radiological agents and there are mass casualties, that if our troops are, quote, tied down in the foreign war on terrorism, that we're going to have, quote, foreign assets patrolling and controlling America. And again, I don't, George, you know I don't just make claims. I mean, this is all documents, bills, video, mainstream news.
Alex, look, I'm telling you, and you will agree, the world will change the moment that happens.
Oh, listen.
And they what they will do, and this is the way I am predicting this, and when I say they, again, I'm talking about this group that wants to control the entire planet. What they will do is find an expendable city. It won't be New York. It won't be Los Angeles. It won't be Chicago.
You're stealing my thunder. Some Midwestern town.
It will be a town that they think can be taken out, and it won't affect the rest of the nation, but it will create the impact to allow them to do whatever they want to do, not just in this country, but worldwide.
George, you stole my thunder. If it's New York or L.A., which I don't think it will be, I agree with you, then you know it's real terrorist. But if it's some Midwestern Rust Belt city of 100,000, 200,000, 50,000 people, and a suitcase nuke goes off, you know it's the New World Order. And again, they've engineered, they've fear-mongered, they've set up the MO, and you're right. that will be used to re-engineer our entire society into a total police state. And I'm sorry, folks.
Entire planet, Alex. Take it to the planet. This is not going to be just in this country.
Oh, no, but
they're going for everything.
But they're
going to
use America. I mean, certainly the Madrid attacks, the London attacks, the 9/11 attacks, they're used worldwide by dictators, by free countries, as a way to crack down on populations. I mean, I've got an Associated Press article where 580-plus gang members have been arrested by Homeland Security. I thought they were for dealing with terrorists. You know, Chertoff says we're about to be attacked by terrorists any minute. Meanwhile, he's out going after gang members and gun owners, you know, in Austin, Texas, and Chicago, Illinois. But listen, folks, George is right. If there is an attack in America, we're going to be harnessed. We're going to have a national draft. We are going to literally turn into a fascist society. The average person will do whatever it takes to, quote, hold on to the American dream. They'll be led around by the nose, by the controllers, and we're going to see a global empire of force-drugging, wars. It's going to make 1984 and Brave New World look like a cakewalk.
The only way it'll stop, the only way it'll stop is if people within this system who catch wind, who see some of their friends and colleagues doing something very strange, and they decide to act. That's the only way it's going to stop. I want to get your reaction to that, Alex, when we come back. Alex, what I also see in this prophetic glance of mine, I see people with goodness. I see people who truly want to fight evil, and I see them as perhaps a salvation, that they may be the ones, because they're there, they witness, they may be the ones to thwart some of these things that could very well be. What do you think of that?
Well, I have to say this, George Norrie. You just have amazing courage and foresight and clarity to have said the things you said before we went to break and what you just stated. I mean, the hair on the back of my neck stood up when you were saying that, because you have the same or similar vision as mine. I know in my guts that 9/11 was just the opening salvo. It was just the appetizer. It is only the beginning of things that will dwarf the carnage, the horrible carnage that we witnessed on that day. I'm, you know, not trying to say that it wasn't horrible, but if we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dead, if we're talking about weaponized smallpox or weaponized Ebola, if we're talking about suitcase nukes going off in multiple cities, the New World Order controllers openly in books and publications and UN documents and CIA documents that are public say that they want to reduce our population from between 80 and 95%. They argue and debate about that. But to do that, they've got to bring in this global crisis to then put their police state in place, and then the suitcase nukes or bio attacks that are coming. Well, the stuff coming after that will actually dwarf those.
See, I think they believe that that's the only way they, because they've chosen this to become gods, they're the ones who've been chosen to save the planet. I think they think the 6 billion people now, one day to get to 9 billion, needs to be reduced. And I think they have taken upon it in their own sick way. It's their mission to kill off all these people.
No, you're right. Hitler had his excuse. Stalin had his excuse. Mao did. I mean, these delusional individuals always have a reason for doing this, but the truth is they're part of a culture of death. But going back to your original statement, what will stop this? What are solutions? And I'm glad you brought
because
that up.
Because I think it can be stopped.
No, you're right. If we have a revelation of understanding, if we have a renaissance, which I think we're on the cusp of, again, 10 years ago, most people disagreed with me. George, I have to look for people that disagree today. I mean, if you really talk to somebody in their guts, they know something's wrong. And people inside government, police, military, high-level intelligence agents, already scores and scores have gone public. People say, well, if, you know, there was evidence of criminal involvement, you know, outside involvement in 9/11 with a group inside our government, why, it'd be public. There'd be whistleblowers. Well, how many members of parliament and defense secretaries of Germany and how many FBI agents and how many MI5 agents and how many police officers and firemen have got to go public? They're just never on the nightly news. So We already have put their timetable behind. The globalists would have already carried out the bio attack, which I think is also a major threat. They would have already carried out the suitcase nuke attack, which our government says isn't a question of if but when. Again, we're not fear-mongering. It's the government saying this is going to happen. We look at who has the motive, the global controllers. So the number one solution is whistleblowers. There have been so many police and military that have already thwarted attacks. This comes out in regional newspapers. Again, you never hear about it on the national news. I could use I could go over a few examples of that if you'd like and show some examples if we have time. And at the same time, it's also about listeners of this broadcast, the second biggest, if not the biggest, radio show in the country. And I've seen the numbers, folks, tens of millions of you listening right now. If you become leaders, if you take action and wake people up and get people involved and expose the fact that powerful institutions stand to gain from terrorism and that giving up our liberties only encourages these institutions, then we'll be able to back them off. If we expose who is behind these terrorist attacks, if we expose who has the motive, then the controllers, the overlords, lose that power over us, and carrying out terror will no longer get them what they want. It will no longer get them the aims that they had planned. It will no longer get them the results that they wanted, George. And so it is so important for everybody out there. It's not too late to speak up and get involved now. We can really change history. And George, by speaking about this, you are really, I mean, as you obviously know, having an effect for the good, you know, against the dark side. And I can only commend you.
Well, I want people to understand that there will be some true patriots through all this. That when you look at, again, what went on in Great Britain, and I'm going to ask you some specific questions about that now, Alex, because you were there, you talked to people, you talked to cabbies and people like that. The fact that they had an exercise with 1,000 people in the same place at the same time is absolutely staggering to me. I have, for my entire life, said to myself, there are no coincidences, that things happen for a reason. I can't stop now on that. I can't go back and say, oh, this was just a coincidence. No, there is a reason why this happened. What are the odds of Rudolf Giuliani being in New York, okay, he was the mayor then, and then he was in London at the time of the bombings? I mean, I'm not saying Rudolf was part of anything, but I'm just saying, what are the odds of that happening?
Well, George, we had a statistician do the numbers for us on a 10 and 5-year mean, very conservative, of what it would take to have three attacks at the same place at the same time out of the 28 railway stations. And the number has 48 zeros in it. The number is very hard to pronounce, but it is
48 zeros. What would you call that? A zillion, zillion or something?
It's like a quasi.
Don't even say it.
I actually looked
Don't
it
even
up,
say
it's hard
it.
To, but it's, here's the number. It's 3,7152,653,265,750,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
died in one of the planes that hit the towers. I do not have a stake in the emotion that other people did. He was a distant cousin by marriage. He was on his way to New York to attend a computer training seminar from Boston, and this happened to him. But I do have an insight into it, and I've sat back, Alex, for all these years watching people like you stick their neck out with the theories and the ideas, and you know what? I'm appalled that there's nobody truly in Congress, there are a few, let me say that, who haven't said we want an investigation. We want to find out who was behind this. We want to find out who benefited.
Well, they'll try to claim that there has been an investigation, but there hasn't been. We had a congressional investigation that was very political, and then we had an investigation that they billed as independent where Bush appointed these 10 members and almost every one of them is in business with defense contractors, or in the case of the chairman, in business with the Carlyle Group and the Bin Ladens. I mean, that's public. I mean, they tried to have Henry Kissinger as the first head of the commission. I mean, how transparent.
Right, and he had to resign because he refused to reveal who his personal clients were.
Exactly. So, I mean, you ask at the start of the broadcast a very important question. Why are people really starting to even who were skeptics, starting to, quote, believe in conspiracies? Why are they so popular? Well, why do people love crossword puzzles? I mean, you know, everybody knows that there's always something behind it. Everybody knows that there are, you know, connections in the world. People know that things, you know, big things don't happen by accident. Roosevelt said that. So it is an awakening. It is happening. And when I was in London for 4 days, 3.5, 4 days on a kind of blitzkrieg tour, we talked to cabbies, and they universally said things don't make sense. The drill doesn't make sense. The head bomber being MI6, I mean, how obvious is that? We talked to so many people who were not buying the official story. Now, we also found individuals who said we should give up our liberty for freedom, whatever that means. And we also saw the police state, where the police threatened to basically arrest us for no reason, just out there interviewing people. But then I went to the home of Michael Meacher, who was the number three in the Blair cabinet just a few years ago, until he resigned over manufactured evidence. He was so outraged by the manufactured pretext to invade Iraq that he resigned. And I sat down and interviewed him for 2 hours on camera, and he just said it's impossible. The official 9/11 story is a fraud. We're being lied to, and it's being used to take our liberties and freedoms. And then off camera, he said even more, George.
Jeez. Well, Alex, where does that put us?
Well, back to what you just mentioned 20 minutes ago before the break. The solution, the hope, is people in Parliament, folks in Congress, people going public and saying no to this. And
I mean, here's an example. You know, there's a controversy about a law that Bush signed today, CAFTA. And he signed it today before he goes on his month-long vacation. They kept the vote open. I mean, they won this by two votes. I did a lengthy show on this and some of the problems that Americans will face because of it.
Well, they did it sneakily.
They kept the vote open for 15 minutes beyond the law, the legal limit, so people could vote on this thing and get this thing passed.
I know, they cheat. Well, also, by saying, you know, I interviewed Ron Paul's office a few weeks ago about this subject, and he said it'll come up next Thursday, and they tried Thursday. They waited till.
Are they going to try to nullify this?
No.
They can't.
Well, you know, that's the scary thing. And, I mean, obviously, you've done a show on it. You know, a ton about it. But for listeners that may have missed your broadcast, this is the Pan-American Union. This is the American Union. One more step. Free trade area of the Americas, and that isn't Alex Jones saying that. The CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, our real government, 3 months ago released a report. Canada and the U.S. adopted that report for this American Union. And in all fairness, Lou Dobbs got the report, freaked out, called it world government, said it was a fraud, and that was a month ago. So the people knew what this would do. In major polls, 80-plus percent of the American people were against CAFTA, the Central American Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, but still they did it, and it affects vitamins, it affects the borders, it merges our police, it merges databases. Look, everybody was against the national ID card. They still passed that.
And it will screw up American jobs.
Well, we lost over 3 million manufacturing jobs just to NAFTA with Mexico alone in the last 10 years. This is going to add a score of countries. They're saying that the effect will be at least four times greater in a negative impact on our economy. And I thought Congress does what the people want and what's constitutional. Well, folks, no one that I know, and the polls show this, was for CAFTA. No one was for the forced psychological testing under New Freedom. No one was for the Real ID Act, but they still. And that's the thing, George, that's so scary. It's like they're going for broke. 10 years ago, if everybody was against something, the politicians generally wouldn't do it. We've seen a string of just, you know what, I think it's desperation by the establishment.
Well, you know, you're right. They're going for broke. You know, when Art Bell writes about and talks about the quickening, I had always assumed, you know, we're talking about earth changes and weather changes, and they are happening at a quick pace. I'm telling you, even this is happening at a quick pace. It's almost as if these people, Alex, say, we've run out of time. We got to do this right now. I mean, it is happening so fast. I mean, your head spins with what's going on worldwide.
Oh, yeah, we could talk for 6 months about CAFTA or about New Freedom or about, you know, the Bush's funding Hitler. We could talk, you know, forever about Bill Clinton and communist Chinese generals in the White House. We could talk forever about the mercury and the vaccines. And that's why I produced this new film, Martial Law, George, that's really a mini-series. I mean, it's 3 hours long, and I think you're a trooper for sitting through it. I mean, it covers the latest police state developments. It covers who carried out 9/11 and details it. And then it covers this cult of death, this Illuminati, skull and bones, Bohemian Grove, with the evidence, cult of death that's controlling our society. So we go inside the minds of the elite. And, you know, here's the plug. People are authorized to make copies of any of my films for nonprofit educational purposes, and I hope they'll go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and order the new film off the secure online shopping cart or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139 and get a copy of Martial Law. And please, folks, get it out to people. You know, you talk about a quickening. For every action, there's an equal or greater reaction. And the best news I've got is this, you know, the yin, the yang. As their forces mass, as their evil expands, as they push even harder, they are creating an equal or greater response against them. And so, you know, great things come to those that are bold. And Mark Twain said that in the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and feared. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him. Because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. We face the greatest crossroads in human history. Extinction or going to the stars. Total dehumanization and enslavement or enlightenment and empowerment and going to the next level. God smiles on those that stand up against evil. God will support us and help those that stand up against evil. But you have to stand in the light, folks. You have to ask God to use you as a vessel. It really comes down to God against these evil forces. I've studied these evil forces. I didn't set out believing this. It's true. They are Satanists. They are Luciferians. We are fighting them. We have got to stand against them, and cowering in fear only empowers them. Resisting them and standing up against them will defeat them. And if you love your children, if you love your family, if you love your bank account, you better defend American liberty. Because if the globalists capture America and use us as an engine for global domination, it is going to ruin all of our lives, and we're not going to have to wait, you know, 10 years for this to happen. It isn't just going to be your children. It's going to be you, folks. Very bad things are about to happen. They're already happening. China's going off the dollar. The dollar.
Well, China and Russia are teaming up with military exercises.
And China's top general openly says we'll destroy 200 cities, but our government isn't worried and the border's wide open. I mean, folks, America's being set up by this criminal cabal that the top Russian economist talked about 2 months before 9/11, Dr. Tanya Karajnia. They are setting us up to bring us down. This is real, folks. We are under attack, and I can tell you right now that we are just blessed to have George Norrie.
Well, we're going to fight this. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen on my watch, Alex, or yours.
I mean, with the tens of millions of listeners you've got and the millions of visitors that I have to Infowars.com and the millions of people across the planet that are involved and informed and that truly care, if the people will just spread the word and get involved and call Congress and tell them, don't take my liberties away. I don't care how bad the attacks get. You control our borders. You know, we want something done about the fake intelligence. We want people to get in trouble for the corrupt things they're involved with. We don't want NAFTA, much less GATT and CAFTA. We don't want all of this. We want this agenda stopped. But listen, just because the government says something's the law doesn't make it so, George. Our government, as you know, said that black people weren't human beings, which is a total fraud and an abomination. But black folks finally stood up along with white folks and said no, so that's not the case today. So in the final equation, the government can declare itself God. The government can say that we're all slaves. The government can say that we don't have any liberties. That is the criminal elements of the government. But if we stand up and say, no, we're sovereign human beings, and we're not your property, and we're not going to go along with it, then it's over. You know, they're banning free speech.
And I think that's why there is hope here, Alex. There is hope. Stay with us. We're going to take phone calls with Alex Jones. Some of you are emailing me, want to know who my distant cousin by marriage was. His name was Douglas Gowell, G-O-W-E-L-L, and you can do a search, and you'll find him. I'll be back. So, Alex, what's on your plate for the next few months? What's new?
Well, I'm going to be posting the video on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com of the interview I did with a member of Parliament, Michael Meacher, concerning 9/11, the London bombings, and the Iraq war, and also my interview with MI5 agent, former MI5 agent David Shaler, about government involvement, that is criminal elements within the government's involvement in the attacks over in London. Also, we're going to be fighting the implementation of this new so-called trade deal, because Central America has not adopted CAFTA yet. So just because our government passes it doesn't mean that they have to. And if they don't agree to it to the letter, then the treaty will be in violation and our government's going to have to drop it. Though Bush is talking about unilaterally just lowering trade barriers, and that'll be even more unpopular. So we're going to be watching that. We're also going to be, just like you mentioned last hour, trying to expose who has the motive behind terror, really focusing on this growing threat that the controllers are hyping of suitcase nukes going off, which I do think is a very real threat. I just think that the quarters that these attacks may be coming from aren't the quarters we've been told.
Well, and I think also one of the problem spots, and one of the reasons why I was now moved into the camp to say that there's something strange here, is we have not picked up Osama bin Laden yet. Some say he's dead. I don't believe it. He's hiding out somewhere. I think these rogue people know where he is, Alex, and they don't want anything to happen to him.
Well, George, Buzzy Krongard said in January of this year, number three in the CIA at the time, he told the Times of London, it was also picked up by WorldNet Daily and the Associated Press, that we know where he is, but we're not getting him because we don't want to. I mean, top generals have said on record, on national television that, oh, well, that might stop the focus of our war on terror, and so we don't want him. You know, Bush said, dead or alive, smoke him out of his holes, number one priority. And then a year and a half ago, he said, I'm not worried about bin Laden. We're not looking for him. So we've got checkpoints in Austin, Texas, because of the London bombings. I mean, it's ridiculous. While our border's wide open. But then, so I've got to give my freedoms up for some so-called security, which, of course, I won't get. I'll get tyranny. My children have to grow up in a third-world police state. But meanwhile, my government doesn't want bin Laden. I mean, it just shows what a – listen, there's a travel advisory for South Texas. The State Department, who puts out advisories on don't go to Israel this month, don't go to South Africa, it's too dangerous, don't go to Sudan. There's been a travel advisory for a full year on South Texas. Laredo is dying because no one is down there engaged in terrorism. Literally, it's on local news, because over 100 people have been killed by drug gangs that our government is basically turning a blind eye to. 5 U.S. cops in the last month, 18 Mexican cops in the last month on the Texas border. So that's going on, but we have 2,000 less Border Patrol now than we had on 9/11. This war on terror is a fraud.
By the way, they just announced yesterday that in St. Louis, my hometown, that they are going to reduce screeners at Lambert Field by, oh, gosh, hundreds of people. I think it's going to be a national thing by thousands. Screeners at airports.
Well, they're taking those, when it was formerly called the TSA last year, and taking them and training local police. They're talking about checkpoints at malls, checkpoints at all the major bus stops. Our whole economy is shifting over into this police state. And incidentally, with the London bombings, they've been on high alert for 3.5 years. 1 month before the bombings, they went off alert. Isn't that interesting, George?
To the phones we go. Let's go. First time caller line, where are you calling?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Where might you be?
Hi, Santa Cruz, California.
All right, go ahead. It's all yours.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I share your vision, and I've told my mom and my daughter about it, but nobody believes me. And I kind of feel like I'm the 100th monkey, you know? Like if I'm 60 and I tell my daughter, you know, my daughter and her husband, and they have two kids, they're so busy, you know, with their kids going to school and with life, that they don't hear your show, and it's not on TV. And every time I tell them, my son-in-law says, well, how come it's not on the news? You know, how come it's not on Channel 11?
Well, let me just, ma'am, tell your son-in-law and your daughter this. You know, it's not even so much a conspiracy. You got 20 minutes of news time on the nightly news.
Right.
And 10,000 stories.
Right.
You've got to tell your son-in-law and your daughter, I mean, if you go to Coast to Coast AM, they have a news selection there at the bottom. That's all pretty much mainstream news, but it's incredible stuff. It's like this report of secret cloning meetings going on in South Korea with top scientists. I mean, you know, chimeras, cross-species abominations, that's all real. Just because they don't see it on the nightly news, you know, most Americans I talk to don't know the dollar's plunged in value.
Right.
They don't know that they just passed CAFTA. They don't know that the free trade area of the Americas is coming up, that is the American Union. You need to, but understand this, it's like planting a seed. So many times I've told people what's happening. They didn't listen to me. But then 6 months, a year, 3 years later, they have a life-changing event, and more of those events are happening. And so just because they're not listening now doesn't mean they won't be listening 6 months down the road. And listen, salesmen will tell you this. The hardest people to sell are your family. They've got preconceived notions. Don't spend all your time on family. Talk to your neighbors. Call into talk shows. You know, start your own website. Go get involved in, you know, in local community groups that are, you know, pick an issue you believe in. Number one, you can't do everything. But because you do care and you want to do something, you've already taken more than the first step. So I salute you. And hey, keep telling them about, you know, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. I mean, if you're out in California, it's on at 10 o'clock at night. No excuse to miss it. Tell them when they're going to the store to buy some milk, you know, some night at 10 o'clock, or tell them tune in at 10 o'clock and tell them to listen to George Norrie when he's got some of these political guests on.
Well, I'm going to get your tape, and I think that'll help, too.
Oh,
you know,
listen.
It'll help me.
Listen.
Or your movie, or the movie that you said to call in and buy.
Yes, and also, you can go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and buy it via the secure shopping cart or call the number. But half of Martial Law, an hour and 30 minutes of it, is on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com for free. You can burn an hour and a half to major film. Half of my last film, American Dictators, is up there for free. You don't even have to buy it. You can burn copies of it and give it to them that way. Though it's not obviously the best quality, it's better to buy the DVD or the VHS.
Okay, great. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Alex.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
Thought criminals. I just wanted to bring up the issue of the concentration camps that have been built here in America, and just wanted to, Alex, get your reaction on where that's going, and see if they, set off a nuke in America, how they could re-engineer society, possibly put us in camps, possibly inoculate us with their poison garbage. Just wanted to get your reaction on that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I've heard George cover it. So again, I keep re-echoing what he said because it's part of the record. It's called the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act. They tried to pass it 3 years ago. They couldn't, and it was openly forced inoculation, putting us in emergency centers. And so they just passed it in Homeland Security. So the martial law provisions are there. Then even Newsmax found the purchase order for 3 1-million-man camps. But understand, they're not going to have on the front gate concentration camp. In England, they're called rest and relocation centers, and it's called the Civil Contingencies Law. Here, it's called continuity of government. And yes, there have been, number one, we have the most imprisoned population in the world. And contrary to popular belief, there are empty or near-empty prisons everywhere. And the federal government has been building them all over the place. And they have, and they've been training riot police, and they've got microwave guns mounted on Humvees in major cities. They've got sound cannons ready in all the major cities. The Sunshine Project got two federal documents a year ago that in every major city there are hangars with knockout gas mounted on helicopters right now to knock out entire cities. Now, why would they do that? Why are they gearing up for this?
Good question. East of the Rockies, you're up with Alex Jones. Hi there.
How you doing, guys? Great show. This is Rich from Cincinnati.
Hey, Rich.
I got a couple questions, if you don't mind. The first was you were talking about them. If it's the New World Order that was going to set off a nuke, that would probably be in the Midwest. And I'm wondering if you thought that, dude, like, they wouldn't want to do too much damage to the country, that they would stick to something where the winds will be blowing towards the east, like Detroit or Cincinnati. Seems up. I'm here in Cincinnati.
Well, I know that CFR member Gary Hart, 2 days after 9/11, and I have this clip of him saying this in Road to Tyranny, said openly that we need to use this disaster to create a new world order. And then he said about 2 years later, and I have that clip in Masters of Terror, he said that Dallas, Denver, and Cleveland would be attacked by bioweapons. I don't know how he could say that. It hasn't happened, thank God. But he said that, and we know he's on the CFR Anti-Terror Commission, who are major planners of just much of how our society works. I mean, the CFR writes a plan for the Pan-American Union. It is adopted 3 months later to the letter. I mean, these guys are the bosses. And I know that he and others and the CIA has said as well that anywhere as far south as Houston up to Minneapolis, St. Paul, that's the chatter. Al-Qaeda plans to hit the Midwest. Well, I agree with George. I mean, I've really thought about this deeply, and that's why the hair on the back of my neck stood up, because I've never heard him say that, and I've never really talked about it. So I guess we're on the same page, psychologically, that, with our studying this, then it's going to be some 100,000, 50,000, 200,000 groups sitting in the middle of nowhere. If that happens, it's the New World Order.
And you think it's going to be somewhere where the fallout's not going to do much damage, I would assume.
I don't know about fallout. I mean, our government detonated hundreds of nuclear, hydrogen, and atomic weapons above ground already.
Right.
In fact, the federal government 2 weeks ago, New Scientist published it, came out with a major study by the government that 11,000 Americans have died just from the atomic test, from the fallout that happened later. So, again, that's the New Scientist. So I don't think they're too worried about fallout. Fallout isn't as – I mean, it's really bad, but if you take potassium iodate and to take precautions, you'll probably end up, if you get really bad fallout contamination, you'll probably end up dying of cancer 20 years later. And the globalists don't care. I mean, look, they've used D.
As long as they're in their bunkers, they're okay.
Exactly. As long as they're in the bunkers, when the dust cloud passes, they're going to be fine.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. We'll take a few more before the break and then have some more with Alex Jones. Next up, let's go to West of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Would that be me?
Yes, sir.
God bless the two of you. I really appreciate how far you've stuck your necks out to give us a shot at sort of beating this thing. But, like Alex was talking about, it's not so much the weapon system that they're going to use. It's the aftermath, how they're going to stampede us around and have us begging for help. Just last, 2 weeks ago, they mentioned on C-SPAN that they're going to be closing another 197 bases. And, who's going to answer the call? who's going to come in here and rescue our ass, you know, when we are begging for help?
Sir, I mean, I could do a whole show with George sometime about foreign trips. I mean, I didn't want to believe this 5 years ago. It's true. I mean, I have them on TV. I have the head UN general. I have U.S. generals. I have their own Pentagon contingency white papers. They say if we're attacked with biological or radiological, they are going to bring foreign assets in. 3 years ago, the deals were signed to bring Czech Republic, British, Dutch, Mexican, and Canadian, and already 24% of our troops on the ground in Iraq were illegal alien Mexicans or Latin Americans who were instantly legalized. Already we have a foreign mercenary army. So it's here.
Thanks for your call. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
This is Rich calling from Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
Sure, Rich. Go ahead.
I had a question and a comment about the Internet and how the controls are now being put into place with the Internet. I noticed that AOL, the last 10 years of posting on the message boards, they've been clamping down on messages. I have links to messages going back 5-6 years that are completely not having to do with political things. And the ones that we write, me and a group of friends on, like if we go and explain stuff that's going on, like what Alex is talking about and what you talk about on your show, they get instantly deleted by AOL. And when you click on the links, it says, this post is no longer available.
Oh, yeah. It's a changing.
Well, sir, you're right. And now they're talking about an Internet tax, a global tax. They're talking about, quote, regulating hate. But who says what hate is? Already in Europe, they're arresting people for criticizing the EU.
Right.
So we've all got to defend the First Amendment, and we've got to support media venues and Internet sites that do support free speech, like Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And I say that because, folks, if you only – I mean, I really – believe me, it is such a rarity to have one of the marquee, biggest shows in the world I mean, literally, folks, Bill O'Reilly has like 2.5 million viewers a night. George Norrie has tens of millions of listeners. This is so important that we have George Norrie and that we have him up here telling the truth and letting guests come on and bring forward their views. This is a real free speech venue like C-SPAN, though C-SPAN's much smaller, with its morning show, Washington Journal.
George, you belong in primetime.
Primetime players, right?
Right.
Press well, George is here at primetime in a lot of cities. I mean, I can hear him primetime here in Central Texas.
Not in New Jersey. We have to listen in the middle of the night, and nobody talks about it the next day because they didn't listen the night before.
Well, I hate to lobby, but I'm going to do it. You need to call those stations and tell them put George Norrie on during the day.
You mentioned Prescott Bush earlier. All my posts about Prescott Bush were deleted by AOL, and all my Kitty Kelly posts when her books came out this past election season when she was harassed on the Today Show by Matt Lauer. Those comments and message board posts are come up, you know, this post is no longer available.
Well, sir, what you can do is, like, I mean, I hate to put the plug in here, but go download my video, Martial Law, for free. We got half of it up there. Give it to people. Email the link to folks. Let's just circumvent any media or any groups that, and believe me, I know about that stuff happening. Anytime this happens, we need to resist it. I mean, they have these filters now that are supposed to filter out porn and hate and gambling, but they're filtering out my websites. We've caught different groups countless times doing that. But you know what? The more they try to keep you from hearing something, the more they try to keep you away from something, the more people want it. So you know what? Good. Let them try to restrict us. It's only going to make people beat down the doors to get it.
I love this quote from Space Prophet from the Fantastic Four. He hits it right on the head. Paranoia is just knowing all the facts. William S. Burroughs. I love that. Back in a moment. A very important situation happening in space right now. We're going to take a few moments before we go back to Alex Jones and the rest of your calls with our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland from the EnterpriseMission.com, who's been monitoring the situation all day long. Richard, what's the latest?
Well, they're about to go out. They're depressurizing the airlock even as I speak, and they're running about a half an hour late for the spacewalk, which doesn't really matter because there are no real time constraints. They have plenty of oxygen and water. It's going to be about a 7-hour walk. The key part, of course, is to go out on the arm of the station to move under the huge underbelly of the shuttle where the tiles are and to snip off or pull out two of these so-called gap fillers and not touch or damage any of the other tiles while they're doing that.
Are they going to replace those fillers or just leave it? Okay.
No, we actually saw some tape this afternoon of them doing this simulated in a set of rooms, experimental labs at NASA. And these things are in there so tight that if they can't pull them out, they're going to cut them off with a kind of a little hacksaw. And they showed, they demonstrated how they're going to do that so they don't damage the tile. If they do pull them out, the one is in a location where there's a tile beneath it so that the gases won't reach down to the airframe. And in the other location on the aft of the shuttle, they claim they can take gases on the airframe this one time coming in without a problem. So that's what they're doing.
They woke up the astronauts today to a theme from Star Trek?
This is bizarre. On my blog yesterday, from my inside NASA source, I published some extremely important information about some hidden agendas in NASA regarding the shuttle mission, the shuttle program, the problems we're seeing, really serious stuff, very heavy stuff, and I won't go into it now. Just go to enterprisemission.com, click on the blog link, and go and read it. And you and I obviously will talk about it later. I run the Enterprise mission, right?
Yes, you do.
In my blog, I mentioned specifically one high NASA official, Wayne Hale, who was the deputy shuttle program manager.
You like him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys, by the way, who tried to get the shuttle photographed with the Recon satellites, Columbia.
Right.
And it was turned down by his boss. That's why he was promoted, because he's a good guy who, as an engineer, tried to save the Columbia guys' lives and lost.
Okay.
Anyway, so he really is watching, apparently, a lot of things. Apparently, he sent this wake-up music to the crew, which was the theme from Enterprise, the last of the, series, just canceled. From, that particular theme, that music, dedicated to the crew from Wayne Hale, deputy program manager of the shuttle program. I called my source, and he confirmed to me that this was a clear message to all of NASA, to the crew, and to us, that what we're writing, the story we're tracking, what we're revealing about NASA, I mean, Alex, you talk about conspiracies, have I got a Lulu for you, is in fact absolutely true. It's a keep going. It's a message to everyone who's paying attention, and I frankly think it's phenomenal that this is going on. And if anybody doubts what I'm saying, just go and replay from the tapes. They're going to have the tape when they do the daily flight day summaries tomorrow morning. So you'll be able to hear the Star Trek music, and you'll hear the dedication from Wayne Hale, and go and connect it to what we're writing about, because there is a 100% connection.
Okay, let's keep our fingers crossed, Richard, that this is a successful endeavor here.
Absolutely, and have we got a lot to talk about on Sunday.
Okay, that's right. Full show with you.
Yep.
Okay, Richard, thank you.
Take care.
Richard C. Hoagland monitoring the goings-on with the Shuttle Discovery. Let's hope everything works out. Alex, let's get right to calls. We had to take a few minutes away for that update on the shuttle. Okay.
Oh, that's important. Yeah, that's riveting.
First-time caller line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Oh, hi. It's Jackie in L.A.
Hey, Jackie.
Speaking of, I have a comment and a question.
Sure.
Speaking of the Internet, I emailed you something about Dell computers. Their new ones now have surveillance cables under all of their new Dell computers. And also, I heard that Bush Sr. was one of the original people in Texas who privatized prisons with
yes.
some man named Hedgenbacher or something.
Yes, the Bushes are huge investors in private prison companies, and of the three biggest, they're big investors and part owners in two of them. So meanwhile, George Bush Sr. was expanding the war on drugs to put all our children in jail if they make make a mistake. They were busy investing in prisons, and so this is more of this conflict of interest. And Democrats do the same stuff, but I mean, just look at it. They're all invested in Carlyle Group and war stocks, and they get richer during wars. They're also invested in the prisons, and so they're big law and order types.
Yeah, and also speaking of lies in Washington, the new rumor out is that Judith Miller's source was John Bolton to out Valerie Plame, you know, the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great security we have coming from the White House.
I mean, well, there are multiple leakers, and they should all get in very serious trouble for this.
But they're never held accountable. No one challenges them.
Well,
we have no way to do it.
Interesting you bring that up, Jackie, because when we started the program, Alex, I was talking to you about this email that's been going on around the country, sent out by some people. There's a guy's website. I'm not going
to
mention it.
I was about to say, I totally agree with you. I don't buy for a minute that there's been – I mean, I've been hearing this for 3 weeks – that Rove and all these people have been indicted. It is poppycock.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Good evening, George. What a pleasure and honor to talk to you and your guest tonight.
Well, that's very kind of you. Hi, Bill.
And I'm in the Southern California high desert.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
And, George, I just got to say up front, I love your show. I listen to you as often as I can. It's great when you bring us all the fun information, but this show tonight and the similar ones, I have to commend you and Mr. Jones for your bravery. I'm surprised sometimes some sneak little government authority doesn't pull your plug.
Well, listen, we have a lot of allies. We have more. Listen, most people in government are good, as George keeps saying. It's true.
Yes.
Most of them love America. A few years ago, they didn't believe me. Now they've seen the evidence. We're getting more allies by the second. I'm telling you, for every action, there's an equal or greater reaction. We've got to stop being afraid, stop acting like we're the minority. We are a growing majority. The problem is we're a cowed majority. So many people out there listening feel like they're alone, and then so many other people know the truth but are afraid to tell you what they really think.
Well, I myself, having been a public servant, have been forced into a couple of government cover-ups that I didn't really want to participate in, but I was forced to keep my mouth shut. And yes, I know they're out there, and they have. I agree totally about the thing with if the nukes go off, it'll be someplace small and someplace fairly insignificant, and it will be the beginning of the end to the United States as we have known it. And
well, listen, they've got their forces lined up and ready. They are ready to pounce, to stampede us, as one caller said. So it's going to be instant. I mean, as George said, you think our lives have changed after 9/11. I mean, this is going to be big and bad. And listen, even if they detonate nukes, or at least smallpox, it's all you good folks out there. I'm going to say it again. Giving up your freedoms isn't going to make you and your family safe. You have got to stand firm for the Constitution and Bill of Rights. That's what makes America America. You know, they say the terrorists attacked us because they're jealous of our liberties and hate our freedom. Why, then, is our government taking our freedoms and liberty? I thought the terrorists wanted to do that. Well, then, who are the terrorists?
Yeah, who are the terrorists? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Linda calling from Houston, Texas.
Hello, Linda, on your speakerphone?
Well, actually, I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, are you? Okay. Go ahead.
But speaking of taking away our liberties, Alex may know, but in Texas, they just passed a law that you can no longer buy Sudafed, which is one of the most popular.
Yeah, when you go to buy it, I went and bought some a few months ago with allergies. I had to show my ID, but listen, the good news is, did you know we narrowly defeated a bill that starting next year, all inspection stickers would have a transponder in them, and they were going to start taxing us to use the roads next year? But we also defeated the new freedom initiative that the feds passed. They tried to get the state of Texas to pass the accompanying laws and take the money for forced psychological testing and drugging. Texas defeated it, and 20-plus other states just defeated it, as well as the transponders. So the feds write these laws, but the states are rejecting it. But look out, 20-something other states now have these laws pending. So you're right about that law, but other good stuff is happening.
And one other thing I thought you might want to comment on is we have had two blasts at the BP refinery down here in Texas City. The first one killed 33 people.
Yep.
And there's a second blast.
You just had that a couple days.
Do you think they're setting us up for a big blow at the refineries?
Well, I mean, I've grown up in Texas my whole life. I've had family that work in those refineries, and refineries do blow up. pipelines do blow up, but there have been 100 terrorist attacks in the last 3.5 years that were real and that were covered up. And some of them, I've confirmed, were in Houston. Good security guards actually witness it, try to warn the police. They get arrested, and then there's a bombing right where they said there'd be one. And this is in the back of the paper. And the reason this is happening is elements in the government don't want to scare the people too much yet, and at the very same time, they're using that to covertly tell police and military that there have been these attacks, and that's why we've got to set up this police state. So there have been real attacks. I don't know about the last two at BP, but there have been attacks in Houston against refineries, and we never find out who did it.
Wildcard Line, you're up with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hello. I think we just got to stand up and say if any attack like that occurs, we got to point at the responsible parties, the military-industrial complex, the Wall Street, the CIA, the White House, and that's the only way in advance to warn them that they're going to have a lot more to lose. And I wanted to talk to the first caller who was talking about, well, these people say it's not on the nightly news, and therefore it must not be true. And I think that's the real problem here is the corporate media and people's accepting it as mother's milk or their good friend when it's really a rattlesnake. And I'm thinking of something I saw on 911truth.org about, a number of things. For instance, Mark Lane, speaking of the Kennedy assassination, he was probably the main researcher into CIA involvement into the Kennedy assassination because Kennedy was going to get out of Vietnam, normalize relations with Cuba.
Well, he already had the troops coming home.
Yeah, right. But he wondered why he got so much favorable attention on talk shows and from the people for his research, but whenever the media talked about him, they bashed him. He got his Freedom of Information Act file from the CIA and found out that the CIA had ordered all of its agents throughout all of the media to bash him, do hit pieces on him, even gave him the talking points, saying he was in it for the money, personal attacks.
Well, let me just say this. I have had 11 major marquee print publications attack me savagely, and I'm not going to list names and give them attention, in the last year. And it's the same talking points, the same statements. And you're right. Operation Mockingbird was declassified in 77. Thousands of people in prominent media, mainly print, because print is then what we all regurgitate and repeat, putting out false info and attacking good people that tell the truth. And I find it interesting that some of the talk show hosts out there that have been attacked I've also been attacked by the same people. And we've got to learn to recognize that. They're very afraid of the free flow of information. And look, tell folks to go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. We have the most extensive 9/11 dossiers you can imagine. We have multiple examples of government-sponsored terrorism. You know, in just 60 seconds, George, a government-sponsored terror event where it was our government officially sanctioning it was admitted in the last few years. I heard an interview with Kermit Roosevelt, the grandson of the president, who was one of the CIA bosses, and he was bragging on NPR, of all places, last year, and I went and got all the documents on it. I'd read it before, but I couldn't believe it, where he admitted that our own CIA in 53 overthrew the pro-America, anti-communist Mossadegh in Iran, which gives us all the problems we have today. Man of the year in 52, they overthrew him the next year because he wouldn't give all of his oil to BP. Funny you mentioned British Petroleum. And how did they do it? They hired Kermit Roosevelt and 8 other CIA agents, along with British Intel, with a suitcase full of gold and dollars, hired over 1,000 thugs to burn mosques, to shoot people, and to hand out handbills saying, up with Mossadegh, up with communism. And the reason this is so important is, 50 years later, this guy goes on the radio. It was an interview he'd done in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And just admits it. I mean, he was proud of it. Oh, isn't this funny how 9 of us brought down a whole country by carrying out terror and blaming it on Mossadegh. And then we got the Shah, and then we got Ayatollah Khomeini, and now look what we have today, and that was caused by greed of the oil companies. Mossadegh was a good person.
And they're doing it with our money.
Yeah, and then it endangers our children. I mean, I'm angry about this.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Alex. They aren't going to stop until the people within wake up. And if anybody gets the message, it's not just to all of our listeners. It's to some of those people who know what's going on from within these rogue organizations. And they're the ones at the right time who are going to become the whistleblowers who go on my program and your program, and they start to say, we know this is happening, and we're going to put a stop to it. And that's the way we're going
to
win.
Well, George, I have to say this. I mean, I listen to many talk shows. I've been on over 2,000 in the last 4 years. But I've got to say it. You are a national treasure. The direction you've taken the broadcast, the stances you take, the bold courage, the controversial guest, the debates you have, it's the best talk radio I've ever heard, and I've learned so much from you. And I'm a little hyper when I get on, because this is one of the few things that actually gets me nervous. Bobby's threatening to arrest me in London, doesn't, but coming on your broadcast does. And I really want to thank you for having me on, and that lady mentioned earlier, Getting Martial Law, my new film. It is such a good solution. Buy a copy, folks. Make copies or download part of it for free on the site. Give it to people. Go to InfoWars.com. Get Martial Law or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. And, George, again, I'm just humbled and honored for you to share the microphone with me and to have me on the broadcast with you from time to time. It is always a real pleasure.
Keep it up, Alex. Stay strong and watch your back, my friend.
Well, I will, sir. And again, God bless you.
All right. That's Alex Jones. Infowars.com, prisonplanet.com. Tomorrow on Coast to Coast, we're going to, of course, one of the benefits and the luxuries of this program is you get serious, you get tough, you cry, you get psychic. And tomorrow we're going to talk about rock and roll and extraterrestrial connections, believe it or not. And you know what? And that's part of the fun of this. As serious, as tremendously serious as this topic is tonight, if you stay at it day in and day out, we're all going to go crazy. And that's why you need a little relief. You need a little entertainment. You need a little fun. And I think that's one of the luxuries of Coast to Coast, that most of the time you can just sit back and enjoy the ride. And the rest of the time, we're going to give you the information that you're going to need in order to battle what's ahead. And it is a battle indeed. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ian Punnett, who does Saturdays now, Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. I'll see you in our next Coast to Coast show. Until then, be safe, everyone.